We're speaking on June 29th, and the first quarter GDP was just released this morning, showing the U.S. economy did grow faster than expected at the beginning of this year. So we're going to discuss the outlook for the U.S. economy, some of the implications, the consumer, housing market, and much more to get a look at what are some of the underlying trends and what we should expect in the weeks and months ahead. Our guest today joining us on the show is Dr. Alan Bollier. He's the president of ITR Economics. And ITR Economics is the oldest privately held, continuously operating economic research consulting firm in the United States. It also boasts a 94.7% accuracy rate on its economic forecasts 1 year out. And you can follow all of their work at itreconomics.com. Alan, thank you for joining us today.
It is entirely my pleasure. Thanks for letting me be part of the show.
So when we discussed the outlook with ITR, it was July of last year, so July of 2022, almost a year ago. Your firm was not forecasting a recession for last year, pushed back on a lot of the recession calls, but discussed some headwinds starting to emerge closer to the second half of 2023 than in 2024. Again, we just had this first quarter GDP that was revised upwards. The U.S. economy is showing to be a little bit more resilient, at least for the beginning of this year. What is the current outlook that you have for the U.S. economy, especially in the midst of all the discussion and debate when it comes to a potential recession?
Yeah, there certainly is a lot of talk about that, isn't there? Lots of information flying around. So let's answer your question first off. The first quarter GDP number was on target with our forecast. It was a milder than average rate of rise when we take inflation out of it, but it's still good. I mean, it was not a super quarter, but it was a consistent with our forecast of a nice rise in 2023. But we're going to find later this year that GDP is going to slow in its rate of rise, and that in 2024, we should have two quarters of GDP decline, not necessarily contiguous, not that that's a big deal, but mild. And so that's the GDP forecast for the U.S., mild, off 0.3% from 2024 to 2023. Not a big deal, except it will be a presidential election year, and that could make it fun. Well, we see how both sides want to blame the other side for everything that's going on, and yet here you and I are talking about the forecast of it well in advance of any presidential election. It's kind of fun to watch it from this angle.
Yeah, I agree. And 2024 election is going to be pretty interesting to see how that plays out, of course. You know, so you mentioned that basically later this year, GDP is expected to slow. 2024 could see two negative quarters of economic decline, but they're not necessarily back to back, which, you know, a lot of people, again, think of two consecutive quarters of negative GDP being the rule of thumb for a recession. We saw that that was not the case previously with NIRBER's definition. So, you know, whether or not we're going to actually see a technical recession or not in 2024, that's still up for debate. But it sounds like the trajectory as you see it is, you know, we're not going to be quite out of the woods, at least when it comes to the debate over recession, until 2024.
The debate will be continuing probably 6 months after the recession and whether it really was a recession, kind of the nature of the beast, which is why we try to help businesses get ready beforehand and get a sense of the dynamics. But you're right, the end of 24 at this point looks like the recession, such as it is, let's call it the softness. I think that's a better word for what we're looking at. It minus 0.3% will end, and we'll see the economy pick up. Earlier, you asked the why, what's behind the forecast, and that's the biggest question of all. To me, the answer is pretty straightforward. Three words sum it up: Federal Reserve Board. They knew they were creating a whole lot of inflation during COVID. They're on record. Chairman Powell has said that, this is going to create inflation, and it did. And so they went to work to eradicate the inflation that they created by raising interest rates somewhat dramatically. A little late in our opinion, and more than a little too much in our opinion, but nevertheless, they raised interest rates. We're not done feeling the pain of that. They stopped with the latest meeting, but they may or may not stop through the rest of this year. But the fact is, the pain of those interest rate rises are going to be felt for some time to come. See, a lot of folks think it's instantaneous. You raise interest rates, you feel the pain right away. It can take a year. before you really feel everything that's involved those interest rate rises. It's a lot more than just what happened to mortgage rates and the affordability of homes, which the Fed wiped out. It goes into the consumer's mind. It goes through businesses. And as there's refinancing going on, it's impacting that. And all of that takes time. So even if they were to reverse today, which of course they're not going to, but even if they were saying, look, we went too far, we're going to lower interest rates, and we saw the Fed funds rate start to come down, we wouldn't change our forecast, except for probably saying it'll be even softer, milder in terms of any negativity, and shorter. But they've created the pain. And now we have to go through that pain. And there's different signs of it, certainly, when we look at other factors. We look at deflated retail sales, and there's a mild decline going on. When we look at non-defense capital goods new orders, B2B activity, our metric for rates of change, which I know you're familiar with, Chris, are in a solid phase C, slowing down, and the 12-month moving total has stopped rising. Everywhere we look, we see that the economy, the pieces are following along with the forecast, or fulfilling the forecast, if you will. Not to say that there aren't some parts that are doing better than others, but and others that are faring not as well. But overall, there's certainly enough out there to support the forecast.
So when it comes to 2024 and what you expect to take place next year, how would you qualify that? Because, you know, there's been a lot of terms that have been thrown around. A no landing scenario, which is basically that we don't even see recession. It's just an upturn in growth again. There's the soft landing, which is a continual growth deceleration, but not one that results in a recession. And then there's the hard landing scenario, which is just an outright recession. And then within that, you could discuss about the severity of such a recession, whether or not that is going to be mild, or if it's going to be something more severe, like what we saw in 2008. How would you qualify what you're expecting for next year?
That's an excellent way to put it, by the way, how you just described the potential results. We're going to call this a recession, but very mild, and nothing like 2008-9 to be sure. But I'm going to call it a recession because industrial production is going to go negative. Manufacturing is already declining some. And we're already seeing different industries that are in decline. So I don't want to call it just a soft landing because some key parts of the economy are negative or will be going negative. So let's call it a very mild recession. So businesses, which is our key focus, think of it in the right terms. So how do I prepare for a very mild recession if I'm positively correlated to the economy? Well, it means that I better make sure that I'm not over inventoried if I have inventory. I should make sure I have a nice relationship with my bank and maybe get that LOC now while I can, even though quantitative tightening makes it more difficult. It'll be even harder next year when banks are feeling the downturn and get more nervous. Do I have enough cash? Do I have the right product mix so that when things slow down, my product or my service will still be required? I mean, these are all the things that should be going through the heads of leadership teams across the country that are tied to the economy. And I hope they are, but you know, where you started is really important because with all the different points of view going on, it's really hard for a CEO to know or the leadership team to know. So the only answer is to find out how you fit into the economy. And once you have that, you're armed with enough information to make the right decisions so that strategically you're prepared and tactfully and with tactics, you can be very successful in whatever the economy is doing. The interesting thing I think is that I don't know scenario because most businesses, the vast majority of businesses can know, they just don't know how to look. And once they find out, it does take the blinders off and all of a sudden it's a much clearer path, much easier way to get there.
And I do want to take an opportunity here to explain that ITR Economics, your firm, provides a lot of really good leading economic indicators and data that can guide businesses and individuals in terms of what to expect. Again, your firm has a 94.7% accuracy rate on your economic forecast 1 year out. So that's a very good place to go, and it's always a pleasure to get an update on your view. I do want to note again that when we spoke with your firm last year with all the recession talk then, you had pushed back against that, saying, don't have that penciled in according to your data for 2022, and not expecting any headwinds to emerge until as we get closer to the second half of 2023 and into 2024. And like you said, at this point, the data is lining up for a very mild recession in 2024. Let's talk about Fed monetary policy here just a little bit, because you did mention, you know, there are lagged impacts. And the Fed has said in their recent meeting that according to the dot plot, which they release, most Fed governors are lining up for around two more rate hikes of 25 basis apiece in the subsequent meetings from here. So that would be another half a percent. And that's going to be putting further pressure. One of the things that concerns us is when we look at bank tightening levels are very high and at recessionary levels, which again does point to this idea that we should expect further weakness and potentially credit contraction moving forward. It does not seem if that's something that the market is pricing in when we look at some of this forward leading data. What are your thoughts in terms of, is there a divergence you think between the market on the one hand and some of the, you know, economic data, leading economic indicators, which you obviously focus a lot on the other hand? Is there a divergence there, or do you think that the market is appropriately pricing in this very mild recession for next year?
I'm going to start with the Federal Reserve Board, because that's where you started. Then I'd love to go to the stock market discussion with you. As far as the Federal Reserve Board goes, if they raise interest rates, the 50 bips that you're talking about in the second half of this year, it's not the amount of interest rate rise that's the problem. So listeners should not be thinking that's it. It's the fact of interest rate rise, because that means the end of the inverted yield curve, the right relationship between short and long-term interest rates is delayed. And that's what could make the recession longer and last into 2025. So I just wanted to pass along to your listeners that don't worry about 25 bips. That's not the issue. It's the fact of any rise makes the right relationship harder to come by. And if we don't see interest rates, the Fed funds rate coming down by late this year, early 24, and we're not close to seeing interest rates become normalized, then we will be updating the forecast to extend it in 25. Want to make sure I pass that along before we get to the stock market. Hope you don't mind. The part about the stock market is interesting. As you are aware, we do a lot with the stock market through our ITR optimizer, where we have lots of tools to look at different segments of the stock market, different ETFs, different categories, different weightings, based upon what's happening in the economy. And I can tell you right now, our ITR optimizer is saying, be defensive. And be careful. This is a slow growth, waning inflation environment, but be careful. Meaning don't exit the market. There's no reason to do that. Don't go to cash. Don't create that taxable event. Don't do anything like that. Don't go into long-term bonds. That's a great way to lose money long-term. With inflation is going to be going up, causing interest rates to go up. So you'd be locked into a low yield device. So my advice would be on the stock market is I think they're doing what they often do, which is lagging. And you can find a stock market as a lead indicator, a coincident indicator, a lagging indicator, what will be. And I think they're just lagging this time. Our internal analysis says this is a good time to go to your wealth advisor, if you have one, and say, all right, how are you going to protect me from the softness that is coming in the economy? Because the stock market will respond. Do you want me to go short in different areas, et cetera? If your wealth advisor says, just go into an index fund and ride it out, and you're of the right age and every other kind of qualifications, you could do that. If you're a Gen Xer or a boomer, I would suggest you not do that. This has the potential for getting a little nasty when the market corrects. Money supply is certainly showing that. It could be more significant than a lot of people are realizing. So if you're of a certain age, it's the last thing you want this late in your life and late in your career. So talk to your wealth advisor and say, okay, I heard this guy on the radio. He was saying, you know, we got to be careful because there's some downside pressure. How are you going to protect me? Number two, ask your wealth advisor, all right, the same guy said there's going to be more inflation. But your wealth advisor will look at you funny for that, by the way. But there will be more inflation. We're going to see the CPI come down from now through the end of 24. And it's going to probably come down on the CPI to a very comfortable 1.5%. Little plus or minus on that. And everybody's going to spike the football. It's, we beat it. Inflation's done. Long live the king. All that kind of stuff. But they're going to miss the sign that inflation's going to come back. And inflation is going to come back after 2024 for a number of reasons. One is that the global economy is going to grow. So the increased demand for goods, particularly in China, for things like copper and other items, will cause commodity prices to go back up. Number two, the labor shortage is going to be temporarily eased in 2024, but not labor rates. They're going to slow in their rate of rise, but you're not going to see labor rates go down. The raises of the past 2 years cannot be clawed back. So we're going to find, because of the labor shortage, that the unemployment rate may go up a little next year. We may find that the amount of people employed would come down a little bit next year, and the Fed will be happy about that. But I would like everyone to not be fooled by that, because that does mean there's more people out there. And we're still looking at 700,000 jobs that can't be filled. We're still looking at more jobs than people who are looking for jobs. So the reality is, in the second part of this decade, labor pressures, commodity pressures, growth pressures are going to reignite inflation. And as that happens, you're going to find interest rates are going up, and you'll be in an environment of systemic inflation from, let's call it, early to mid 2025 through the middle of 2030, somewhere in through there. That's a longer term picture that everybody must be getting ready for, businesses and individuals alike, because lots of decisions need to be made in the next 18 months if you see that in inflation coming. So we started with the Fed, and the Fed is going to just relax eventually, and it'll look like everything's gone. When the inflationary pressures come back, for the reasons I just said, they'll be raising interest rates again, they'll be active again, and eventually they will go too far, which is just normal. It's not meant as a derogatory comment. They will go too far, and they will bring about recessionary pressures again. We're thinking around the year 2030. And I think you know our long-term forecast for that decade. So all that kind of fits together in that be ready to pounce now to get ready for 2024. Be ready in 2024 for the busier years of 25 through 29. Make sure that you're putting money into automation. Make sure you're looking for things you shouldn't be doing anymore. Make sure your pricing structure is what it can be. Make sure that you are doing everything you can to be as efficient as you possibly can with your headcount, so that you're not going to feel the pain of those labor pressures for 5 years, the second half of this decade. And if people do that, they will be doing very well. If individuals can say to themselves, when should I buy a house? Geez, 2024, second half of the year, buy a house. I know interest rates are only on a mortgage may only be down to 5%, and a lot of people are waiting for that 3%er to come back around again. Not going to happen, my friend. So I would say to you, buy that house. Prices have come down a little. Your wages are going up. Buy that house. And then just stay in that house for the next 10 years, and you're going to find that that was one of the best financial decisions you could have made. Sorry for a long answer to your question through there. I just like the subject, so I got going.
Yeah, and I packed a lot into that question too. So the fault was mine, but I appreciate that great answer there. So again, your data is pointing towards a very mild recession for 2024. When you look at the market relative to the fundamental macro backdrop, your ITR optimizer portal that you have, where you look at the market implications of your economic data, is saying that a defensive posture is likely warranted at present. Inflation, you believe, will be coming down to around 1.5% or so. And then everyone's going to cheer. The Fed is going to be very happy, but that's only going to be temporary before inflation bounces back to a longer term higher level, it sounds like, given, like you said, the labor shortage will only be temporarily eased in 2024, but wages are still going to be at a higher level. Inflation is likely going to be an issue. And you know, when it comes to your longer term outlook, as you said, you know, it's around 2030 is when you expect some bigger cracks to emerge. And as you and other ITR analysts have discussed on our show, that's when you expect a Great Depression to occur. And I believe the timeline for that is really around 2030 to 2036. So a protracted economic malaise, depression. Is that still the view as well?
It certainly is. My brother Brian and I, for those who are new to ITR, Brian and I are the principals here at ITR. We're doing a webinar on that in July. Information that is on our website. There's lots of reasons why, and there's reasons why it'll be 6 years, and it'll be great. This show just is a perfect venue for it. There'll be tremendous financial opportunities to people who are prepared in a depression. A depression is a wealth-creating event for people if they are prepared. And so while I mentioned a depression to somebody, and they get this horrible look on their face like it's a zombie apocalypse, which I don't blame them because we all think of the black and white grainy photographs of the 1930s. We don't remember, because we were never taught, all the stories about the wealth that's created and the opportunities for younger people. Millennials can make a fortune. Z's will be able to just get ready and prepared for the rest of their life. It'll be really good for the prepared and really awful for the unprepared. So everybody listening now can at least start getting prepared for it, taking sure steps to be ready for that downturn. And 6 years is a long time, which while you were speaking, I thought I got to give you another forecast, but let's address the 6 years first. The 6 years is going to be a real challenge to leadership. Can you imagine leading a team where your business is flat to mildly negative, struggling to make sales, struggling to make ends meet for 6 years, and the demoralizing impact that will have on people, especially with the media talking about all the really negative things happening in other parts of the country or the part of the population that's really being underserved. I mean, it'll be so negative. And you're going to have to go in there and lead a team to accomplish things while all that's going on. The leadership challenge will be just amazing in that time period. And great leaders will lead their teams and they will accomplish great things. And others will throw their hands up and go, I don't know what to do. And that will be a winnowing of the number of people still in business by the time we get to 2036. Very interesting time period. The forecast I want to give you, by the way, before I forget, is that I would bet you at all, every dollar I have, that when we get to 2025 and the economy's back into recovery, whoever is president is going to say, look what I did.
Yep.
You know, it had absolutely nothing to do with it. They just can't help themselves. It's just amazing to me. Look what I did.
Yeah, that's a 100% forecast that you can count on right there.
Yeah, thanks. I think so too. We're on the same page.
Well, again, you know, I want to thank you for coming on our show, giving us an update on your outlook, running through, you know, some of the key trends, not just in the near term, but also looking out for the long-term picture. And as we close, you are going to be discussing, you said, I believe next month, developing on some of these subjects, including the 2030 Great Depression outlook, how listeners and your readers and others can prepare beforehand. So that is very important. Would you mind just telling our audience what would be the best way for them to tune into that and the best ways to follow more of your work?
Oh, thank you. Go to itreconomics.com and you'll find information about the webinar and you'll find information about our blogs and our Trends Talk, which are podcasts and different ways to follow us. Brian records every week a FedWatch. So there's all kinds of avenues for keeping track. And then if you wanted more detailed information, that's available too. There's a chat box that comes up like everybody has, but ours is not a robo chat. That's a real person or people. And they'll be glad to help you find the information on whatever you're looking for, webinar or whatever. Just ask them. They're great folks.
And once again, that is at itreconomics.com. I'll have a link out to that where this interview is located on Financial Sense. So all of you can click a link to follow more of Alan, Brian, and the variety of various analysts that you have at ITR Economics, which we've also spoken with on the show, and it's always a pleasure to do so. So thank you for coming on and giving us an update on your outlook, and we definitely look forward to speaking with you in the future. If you have any questions or feedback on what we discussed today, or if you'd like to get in touch with us about our asset management or financial planning services, you can do so by going to financialsense.com and clicking where it says Contact Us. As always, don't forget to spread the word about FS Insider with your friends and family and share our podcast on all of your social media channels. For FS Insider, I'm Chris Sheridan. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.